Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
And I want to today share a message with you that I believe will encourage you. The message is entitled, Why We Give Thanks. Thanksgiving is coming on Thursday, and we look forward to celebrating with whomever we're able to, with our families. Of course, we're being safe during this season, but it's still a time of giving thanks. And don't lose focus on that, because Thanksgiving has brought us thus far. So again, our title today will be, Why We Give Thanks. And I want us to just go into this together with open hearts and open minds. There's a word for us today. I'll begin by reading a couple of quotes. First of all, is William Barclay, and I use his commentary quite a bit for our Bible studies. But he says this, the distinguishing mark of the true church is an abounding and overflowing gratitude. Thanksgiving is the constant and characteristic note of the Christian life. J.B. Lightfoot wrote this, Thanksgiving is the end of all human conduct, whether observed in words or in works. And I agree with that. We want to lift up Thanksgiving, not the holiday. I'm talking about giving thanks, all right? Actual giving of thanks to God. At the end of the day, Thanksgiving is what we do best and what we should do most. Because it says, God, thank you for everything you've done. All right, our first text for today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, giving thanks is more than a holiday of Thanksgiving. Giving thanks is not about a pep rally, trying to pep yourself up, you know, by saying, thank you, Lord. It's more than that. It is that, but it's more than that. And giving thanks is a real life way, all right, to handle difficulties. And you can agree with me, since March of this year, when COVID became, you know, it changed everything in March. If you have come this far and you're still encouraged, okay, it's because you have pressed into God to give your thanks to Him. Thanks for keeping you, for keeping loved ones. Thanks for having the wisdom to stay safe and do what's necessary. Thanksgiving has carried us thus far by the grace of God. Now stop and think about times when you have felt overwhelmed by problems and difficulties. This may have been that year for many of us. And you can remember that in those seasons, it was giving thanks, that heart of gratitude and thanksgiving that really, again, carried you through. So don't forget what brought you this far and keep doing that, right? Now, there's absolutely no way to successfully handle problems without a balance of rejoicing and giving thanks to God and being a doer of the word. There's no way to really get through this without combining those elements of thanksgiving and of rejoicing and being a doer of the word. In doing my study in this text and looking at the words, the Hebrew Greek words being used, I learned this, that thanksgiving and prayer form a closely connected unity. There's a connection between prayer and thanksgiving. And it makes sense. You can't have one without the other. So giving thanks to God without prayer, where's the power in that? Or prayer without thanksgiving, you see, where's the conclusion of the prayer? And so therefore, there's a constant blend and mixed, right, and dynamic between prayer and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and prayer, right? Prayer giving thanks. You know, you pray, when we pray, a good portion of our prayers are saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this person, this situation, this blessing. And so that I like that definition, and that's right from the Greek dictionary, that prayer and thanksgiving are a closely connected unity. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, right? It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And there's a connection right there. Very plain. Why are we anxious? Why does anxiety rise in us? Because anxiety comes from the emotions of looking at the circumstances, thinking about the problems, and then not feeling able to resolve those issues and problems. And so that sense of fear or nervousness arises, anxiety comes. But he says this, but by prayer, and supplication means it's a definite request. See, supplication is a type of prayer where you're very specific, right? You can pray a general prayer, ask God to bless whatever, your meals and your family, but supplication goes in with specific requests. In fact, some versions say specific requests. So when you have prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, yeah, right? It doesn't work without thanksgiving. We can't come in and say, Lord, my name is Jimmy. I take all you can give me. Doesn't work like that. We go in with prayer, which is a form of worship, supplication, making requests to God, specific requests to God, with thanksgiving. Right? Saying, Lord, thank you, all the way through. We're not just asking for stuff. We're actually thanking him for what he promised. So very important that we grasp that. Let me share another scripture with you. This is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Let me give you a lesson from redwood trees, all right? Because Paul is talking about a tree or something planted, rooted and built up in him. Now, you see in the picture that man standing next to those redwood trees, and those are giant sequoias, I believe. And I've actually stood in that place. I've been in California, and I've actually stood alongside these trees, and those aren't even the biggest ones, okay? And it's an amazing, awesome sight. And these trees live hundreds and thousands of years. The thing I learned about redwood trees is this, and this is going to bless you. Redwoods do not survive alone, ever. You never see a single redwood tree by itself. Now, other types of trees, you see them alone. I found out that redwood trees don't have the deepest roots. You think that for a tree that, you know, that as tall as they are, that roots would be deeper. No, they have wide roots, but the roots don't go much more than 12 feet deep. Here's the thing about redwood trees. They form tribes. They live in tribes. And in fact, what happens is they intertwine their roots. Their strength is in the intertwining of the root system. Even though it's not going very deep, it's very broad, and each tree is supporting the other. And each adds strength and support to the other by the intertwining roots. The roots don't go all that deep, but they go very wide. Now, listen, when Paul said that we're rooted and built up in him, he didn't know about redwood trees, I don't believe, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit knew. And so that being rooted and built up isn't just that I'm blessed and I've got mine. The fact is, it's in the fellowship of the believers. It's in the body of Christ where we intertwine our roots. We are also a tribe. We're also a community. And that there's no strength being all by yourself. So then recognize the need, even online, to interact with each other, to send those messages, make those phone calls, because it's in the rooting we have in Christ together that we stand strong and stand tall. I've been to redwood forests. I've been to a couple of them, and I've never seen a tree stand all by itself. Now, giving thanks keeps your heart clear. In this day of bad news, and as I speak, we're having challenges in our country with transition between presidents, and it's crazy out here. But our heart has to stay clear, right? In fact, just today I was reading a scripture, contemplating a situation, and looking at what we're dealing with, Proverbs 37, verse 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass. So fretfulness can become a condition in your heart where you're overly concerned, overly critical, worried. Now, we have concerns, but according to God's word, again, we're rooted right in Christ and his word, that we don't want to fret or be anxious, right? So again, let's keep the focus on prayer and thanksgiving. Now, Romans 1:21 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, I read this every Thanksgiving season, because it's necessary for us to always remember that keeping your heart clear is really enabled by Thanksgiving. Because the opposite effect is, for those who knew God and did not glorify him as God, their thinking became futile. King James says vain, and their foolish hearts were darkened, right? Now, you don't lose your salvation behind this, but darkness represents fretting, anxiety, fear, all that. Again, Thanksgiving and prayer, that unified reality working together helps to keep our hearts clear. Let me share this from Isaiah 55. I'm going to finish this message today, and I'll be here for a little bit with this chapter, because there's so much here. And reading the text, I saw there's a continuity in this text. In fact, there are main points I'm going to share with you in this text. There are some keys. First, there are instructions. Second, there's results. Third, there's perspective. Fourth, there's promise. And finally, there's praise and thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly, but go with me. It's a very important text for us to conclude with on today. All right, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Again, he's giving us instructions. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Wow, instructions. Now, he spoke it to Israel, but because it's scripture now, God's also speaking to us through Christ today. Again, come to him, come to the waters, you know, come and invest in things that matter, right? Why spend money on that which is not bread, doesn't nourish you? Why waste your wages on that which does not satisfy, right? The next part of this text, Isaiah 55, verse 4, begins by saying, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people. Again, the results. This speaks messianically of Christ. And also, again, by those who follow God and serve God as well. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. So the results of following God's instructions is God can use us as a witness to the people. God can make us a blessing. God can inspire hope in others through us. Next part of this text, Isaiah 55, verse 8, the perspective. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Wow, perspective. It doesn't matter what I think, what you think. God has a better thought. He has a higher thought. Doesn't matter how we feel. I mean, your feelings do matter, but don't be led around by your feelings, right? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, God's ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Well, what should we do? Man, get the thoughts of God, get the mind of Christ, right? Through prayer and thanksgiving, we can fill our hearts and minds with the thoughts and with the ideas and concepts that God would teach us. Next part of this text begins at verse 11. This is the promise in Isaiah 55, verse 11, the promise. He said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I love this text. We all do. And that's why we pray. That's why we listen to the word and study the word. We want to get the promise from God, the word from his mouth. It shall not return void. You know, we do stuff sometime that comes up empty. Everything God does is designed for a certain impact, a certain result, certain fruit. And it shall accomplish what I please. Now, it may be you began thinking God's going to do one thing. He did something else. It's prerogative as God. You know, I often say God has this problem. He thinks he's God. Okay. So, but be prepared. Just follow him. He won't mislead you. Amen. The point, though, the promise then is that the thing that God has spoken, it shall prosper. It shall prosper in the thing for which it is sent. The thing is whatever. I mean, you know, it could be employment, health. It could be your purpose in life, your family. The thing is anything that God is working with you regarding. And finally, we come down to how it all turns out. Now, listen, once we've gotten our instruction from God and we begin to see the results and the perspective is clear and we know God's promise, what's left? Well, where we started, thanking God, praising God, offering God our thanks. Now, it says this in Isaiah 55, verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Oh, this is marvelous. As God helps us, works with us, molds us, shapes, reshapes us like the potter, you know, in the clay. When God is working with us, we come to a place where we are giving thanks and praise, but we also see result. We see the results of praise. Now, when it says here, you'll go out with joy, amen, and be led out with thanksgiving. Now, watch this. It says that the mountains and hills shall break forth into singing. He says that the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, wait a minute. Mountains and hills don't sing, and trees don't clap their hands. What's he talking about? Hope you get this. This is what the mountain and hills look like to you. When God has helped you and you have understood his purpose, his instructions, believed his promises, right? He said, you shall go out with joy. When you go out rejoicing and giving God praise and thanks, to you see the hills and the mountains are singing. To you, the trees appear to clap their hands. Now, listen, this is important because we live in a world that's full of trouble. We live in environments that are very disturbing and heartbreaking sometimes, but even though we don't always change the circumstances, but then what happens is in the midst of those circumstances, we gain a new perspective, right? We see things differently. For example, let me show you the words of an old Negro spiritual. Mahalia Jackson sang this, others have sung this before, but the words say, you know I've been born again. I started to walk and I had a new walk. I started to talk, I had a new talk. Looked at my hands looked new. Looked at my feet, they did too. I got my right hand on a winding chain. My soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. I am filled within, I'm free from sin. You know I've been born again. You see what's happening here? When you get to a level of praise and thanksgiving in your walk with God, and you're led out with peace, all right, then what happens, things look new. Even things that are the same look new. Three things happen. Giving thanks changes your perspective. Sometimes when you change, your circumstances change. Now, that sounds weird. Think about that. No, Pastor, I need this person to change. I need this job situation to change. Well, look at it this way. When you change, he would change. She would change. When you change, the job changes, because sometimes what we're looking at, we're seeing people through our own discomforts and disappointments, you know, and misery. And so that sometimes it's the fact that we've not been praising God. We don't have perspective, but giving thanks will change your perspective. Second thing is, old things can look new. And that old Negro spiritual said that, right? Well, the Bible says that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He didn't say you get all new things. He did not say you get all new things. Old things have passed away. All things become new. The things become new, like the mountains and the hills singing and trees clapping hands. It's amazing what happens in all your circumstances when you change. And third point here is, solutions appear where before you can only see problems. I encourage you, I double dare you to put praise and thanksgiving on your situations. I don't mean as a way to deny and dismiss them, but as a way to tap into the wisdom of God, to follow God's instruction, gain God's perspective, to get to a level where circumstances don't dominate you. You, through Jesus, dominate the circumstance, right? That people aren't changing you for the worse, you're changing them for the better. All right, the devil's not chasing you around. You know, you're putting him to flight. And it's amazing the authority and power we have in Jesus, but nothing happens until we connect prayer and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is great, got to have prayer with it. Prayer is great, got to give God some thanks, right? And so those two working together produce a change in your life, a change in attitude. Holy Spirit can use us the way he wants to. Jesus is glorified through us. And so I want you to receive all this today. I want to pray for you now that you would enter in. Lord, thank you, Lord, for those that are watching and listening. I ask you, Father God, to give grace right now to each person watching, that, Lord, that they would, and all of us together would, Lord, in everything give thanks. For this is your will, Lord, for us. Lord, help us to be anxious. No, we decide to be anxious for nothing with your help. And in everything with prayer and supplication, we're going to, Lord, with thanksgiving, make our requests made known to you. And Lord, thank you that we are like the redwood trees, Lord, that you never see them one alone, but they are a community with intertwined roots. And I thank you, Father God, we'll represent your church and be the people you call us to be, Lord, and leave our silos, Lord, and Lord, and connect with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you'll continue to help us to see, Lord, that thanksgiving drives the darkness away or keeps darkness away. Lord, thank you that we'll see as Isaiah, as a prophecy in Isaiah brought forth, that we will gain your instruction, Lord God. We will see the results, Lord God. We will have perspective, Father. We'll have the promise, Lord, and praise and thanksgiving will be on our lips, Lord. And we're going to go out and be led out with peace. And then the mountains and hills, Lord God, all the circumstances we live are going to look different because we're changed. We'll see solutions, Lord, where we only saw problems. And we thank you for this blessing today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.